LSL Connecting Energy's holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Majority Leader Alexander Fenyamarking is tonight accusing his colleague NDC MPs of economic sabotage. Yet again, the majority side tried to push through $350 million worth of tax waivers, but were repelled by the minority side, who have been opposing them every step of the way. Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwaku Asante has been in the House for both days and joins me in the studio. Let's first establish why this emergency recall. What were the objectives of the majority side when they asked the Speaker of Parliament to approve a recall?
Well, you will recall that on the 30th of July, the Speaker of Parliament did adjourn the House indefinitely. Barely 24 hours after that, the majority leader did write a memo to the Speaker of Parliament and under Order 58-4 requesting an urgent sitting of the House for some urgent matters for consideration to be taken. There were about four of them, but they expand. One is a motion on the financing agreement for the $250 million on the Ghana Energy Sector Recovery Program. The second was the request for tax exemptions for designated beneficiaries under the One District, One Factory program, spanning close to $350 million. And then the Ghana Financial Stability Fund loan from the IDA of the World Bank, also to the tune of $250 million. And some bills, the budget bill, rent bill, University of Local Governance and Development bill, environmental protection bill, social protection bill, interstate succession bill, Chartered Institute of Reconstruction and Insolvency Practitioners Bill, Ghana Industrial Property Office Bill, and the National Petroleum Authority Bill. All these were the key businesses for which reason the majority side wanted the House to be reconvened.
And which of these did he actually get through?
In fact, when they did come, the Speaker of Parliament said he had gone through this and he only sees three of them as urgent, and that the others, he's not going to deal with them. The first is the motion to rescind the decision on the rejection of the $250 million for the Ghana Energy Sector Recovery Program, the tax waivers issue, and the Ghana Financial Stability Fund. After 2 days of session, in fact, the House adjourned close to 6 p.m. yesterday. The same thing today, the House adjourned almost an hour ago. The House was only able, from all the businesses that were scheduled, for these 2 days, they were only able to take one. That is the business having to do with the $250 million that was initially rejected in July of this year. That was the only business. And the minority side had made it clear that the first loan having to do with $250 million for the Ghana Financial Stability Fund, they were opposed to it. And again, the tax waivers, they were opposed to it. The majority leader today accusing the NDC MPs of economic sabotage because he believes that the points they've been making are simply not founded and they are just simply trying to sabotage the government.
But what reason did the minority side give for opposing? Let's focus first on the tax waivers.
Definitely. We've been hearing from the minority leader, Dr. Kesela Tufosin, who's been making the point that in their view, these are waivers that government is simply giving to their cronies.
Evidently clear from the business we have transacted so far in this house. Mr. Speaker, I want to say that there was no way the business we've done so far should have warranted such a recall. Right, Honorable Speaker, as we speak, our country's democracy is at a crossroads, and it's important that the Electoral Commission takes steps to ensure that they will conduct a free, fair, credible, transparent elections. Mr. Speaker, we were recalled to tackle tax exemptions and loans. Right, Honorable Speaker, one of it has been approved. Mr. Speaker, our concern still remains with the tax exemptions. We strongly believe that these giveaways should be curtailed. We strongly believe that these giveaways of tax exemptions is unwarranted, Mr. Speaker, and we believe that at a time that the country is bleeding, Ghana should not be giving such giveaways to crony businesses. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, persistently, this government intends to give away a lot more tax exemptions. But right, Honorable Speaker, once again, the people of Ghana should bear in mind that the NDC minority stands for them. And we will do what is right. We'll do the Lord's work and ensure that the right thing is done to protect the public purse.
And the majority leader didn't take kindly to this. Actually, on the floor, he was already pointing accusing fingers.
Well, yes, in his usual fiery self, was firing directly at the minority leader, who accused of, siding with some members of his backbench who are trying to sabotage the government's economic agenda.
If we are serious about our country, we will stop these trivialities and move away from undue partisanship and look at the national interest. Mr. Speaker, it is unacceptable It is unacceptable. We are destroying businesses. And if we think that by destroying these businesses, we will come back to power, we will come to power to have a fresh start and reset, I am sorry. You are destroying your very eggs. Mr. Speaker, I think that we can do better than this as parliamentarians. We can do better than this as a political class. We can do better than this as people who have been elected to lead our people. Mr. Speaker, we should have our disagreements, but to destroy the business life of people who have entrusted their businesses into our economy, who believe in the policies and say that we are not going to pass. When the Committee of Parliament has done its work, and the Committee of Parliament has recommended to the plenary, and plenary says, by certain operations of politics, we are not going to take them. And even in the closing remarks of the minority leader, he still finds space to do politics with it. Mr. Speaker, I'm not an economist. I did law. And if this is coming from an economist and a tax expert, it is very rich, extremely rich.
Let's put this in context. The majority leader says there that this is all part of a ploy to destroy businesses. There were 42 companies in all. 42 companies that had been listed to benefit from these tax waivers amounting to $335 million. But again, let's again highlight that this did not start at $335 million. It started off at $400 million. Yes. That was the initial amount that was quoted by the minority. And I recall having that interview with Case Lato Forcing where he said that for them was where they draw the line. They were not going to approve it. In fact, it was an issue for them, even in considering some of the ministers the president had put forth for them to consider. The president actually intervened, called the minority guys to Jubilee House to try and convince them to back this, right? Yeah, they still say they have issues.
Yes.
Now, talking about businesses, we know that a few businesses were in the queue to benefit. Saint Hugh, for example, was going to benefit the highest amount in terms of what was going to be going out. Some $164 million was going to go to Sentu, which is the Chinese firm that is into the oil refinery, the Sentu Oil Refinery Limited. And a lot of questions were raised then. I mean, this isn't an indigenous Ghanaian company. Why are you giving them that huge amount in terms of tax waivers? There were other businesses that we know on the list that the parliament was asked to consider.
In fact, if you look at the other paper, they've listed all of them. There is B5 Plus Limited that was said to benefit about $11 million in terms of tax waivers. Again, there is Ferro Fabric Limited also expecting to get $8 million for worth of tax waivers. There's also, again, Ferro Fabric expecting to get about $8.039 million. Ever Pure Holdings Limited also expected to get $1.7 million under the 1D1F tax waivers that were. In fact, if you look at the other paper, the last page 17, they list all of them, from Snyder Transformers, Grand Chem Limited, CK Engineering and Construction Limited, Bika Food Ghana Limited, Emperor Foods and Beverages Limited, Yabiko Enterprise Limited, Leslie Company Limited, Matrix Industry, Specialty BS, Prestige Integrated Agro Company Limited, Sunda Ghana Investment Limited, Sunda Ghana Limited, Corban Company Limited, Keda Ceramics Company Limited, Fukai Company Limited, Les Farm Industries, Yellowtail Limited, Golden Latex Products, Sankofa Brewery, Cements de l'Afrique Ghana Limited, Triton Oak Industries, Rekpat Company, Ecopole Industries, Nungwa Warehouse Limited, RMS Ghana Limited, Amponsa Efa Pharmaceuticals Limited, Agrohow Ghana Limited, YMHY Doors Ghana Manufacturing Company Limited, and a number of them all listed on the other paper to get these breaks.
And this gives some clarity also and some perspective. This is the same issue that it was rumored was a reason why the former deputy finance minister apparently was removed as the chair of the finance committee. Yes. I had the opportunity to ask him that question when I interviewed him. He would not be drawn on the subject of why he was removed, but he did not hold back in telling me that he was opposed to these tax waivers, as the government, the MPP, the majority spokesperson on finance in the committee.
Yeah.
He was opposed to it. And something unprecedented happened, that the Minister for Trade and Industry files an urgent question in the House to get his own majority colleague chair to come to the House to come and answer why
and answer questions.
he was preventing this particular
tax waiver from getting through.
He's no longer there.
Yes.
And shortly thereafter,
Patrick Bwoma is now the new chair, and the tax waivers are still struggling to get out of committee to come to the floor.
And not even an emergency sitting.
Yes.
In fact,
you clearly sense that the majority are racing against time. Parliament, they're expected to come back at the end of October to do just about 4 weeks and then go for election and then return. In 4 weeks, if all these do not get through, these issues will, as it were, evaporate and they will just not come again. And so these are key issues for the majority. Today they were seeking to push them through. And in fact, for all these 2 days, Kwaku Kwarteng has not been at this emergency meeting. He has not been there for both days. We do not understand if he has official permission not to be there. But clearly, there were some issues having to do with numbers. If you had all 138, you can push a vote because the Speaker, as it indicated, this was part of the businesses he had admitted to be done.
Because it will come down eventually to a vote.
It will come down to a vote. And if there was a voice vote and then it was challenged, it will come down to the numbers. In fact, at some point, the majority leader himself, speaking during his closing remarks, says he accepts responsibilities and speaks in a certain bit of a coded language, saying that they're going to put their house in order, and then when the house returns, they'll make another attempt to get this through.
And you make a very important point here. Do I get a sense, and you were in the house, you've been in the house the last 2 days during this emergency sitting, that although the majority side calls this emergency recall, they may not have brought all their numbers to get the business that they had recalled their house over done. And there's a sense we're also getting from the minority side that they see this as a complete monumental waste of time.
Well, yes. In fact, at one point, the majority side wanted to do one bill, and they were impressing on the Speaker to do it. The Speaker asked the majority leader to look at his back, and it was clear that the numbers were not there. Afenyo Makin asked that the House be suspended for a few minutes and he would try and get members to come in. They didn't get that. Following the adjournment, I've been speaking to Cletus Avoka himself, a former majority leader of the House, together with Dela Sowa, MP for Kwando. They say, from the minority side, they do not believe that this emergency sitting was necessary.
Of all due humility and respect, I don't think that this recall was necessary. You see, from the very day that we adjourned Sinedai, I know the majority leader was up in arms, insisting that there will be a recall, there will be a recall. He had not yet judicially considered the issues that they were going to be recalled on. I think it was out of frustration that he requested, he was deciding that there must be a recall. And shortly after that, it didn't take 1 month. And then they requested for the recall. I don't think it was in the best of the national interest. If you look at the cost of recalling 275 members of parliament, having to take care of them in terms of TNT, in terms of logistics, etc., I didn't think that it was very necessary for us to have this recall. And when you are calling people back, they should put your act together. I think there should have been constructive engagement between the majority side and the minority leadership and the Speaker, so that they iron out the issues.
The fact that we're only able to do two businesses out of the whole list of businesses aligned shows that the recall was very unnecessary. It was very unnecessary.
I mean, given the amount involved, do you subscribe to the idea that the Speaker has put out that going forward there must be some sort of legislation to guide how these recalls are made?
I really subscribe to it. I mean, there are emergencies. If it's an emergency, we all know it's an emergency, but this one was very unnecessary.
But of course, the majority side disagrees. They believe that they've gotten something done, at least with the $250 million loan that they have succeeded in getting overturned. It was rejected at the first instance before Parliament went on that recess. They've managed to get Parliament to rescind that decision, and they believe this has been useful.
When the leadership of the House met, they thought it wise that there are some other businesses that were not completed that we need to complete it. And clearly, if you look at since yesterday up till now, there were certain decisions that should have been taken behind the scenes before we get into the chamber that were not done. But I'm sure that I trust the majority leader definitely is going to go back, put things together, and I'm sure by a week or two we are going to come back and do the right thing.
Because the government business must go on. The work of Ghana must go on. So if it came by rescission, for me I was even very happy that there was a compromise. So if we have come to a decision and we have, even within the time limit, we have some other time, why not? Okay, for me, for example, I'm disappointed that the EPA bill was not passed into law. Because you see, all the underlying things underlying galamsey that it cannot be controlled is because we do not have a central body controlling all these things.
And on the subject of the tax waivers, which remains a very controversial matter, the president had intervened. He still did not get the minority side to back down. This is something they initiated in 2021. So you can just imagine how long it's taking to still, even with an emergency recall of parliament, to still fail to get it through. At a point where, at one point, you had your own majority spokesperson on finance, you used to chair the finance committee opposed to it. That definitely lays the foundation for what we are seeing tonight with the another rejection of these tax incentives that the government wanted to give out to businesses. And you had the majority leader accusing the minority side of destroying businesses. So what is it that the minority side have to say about that? And these tax waivers were pushed by the Trade Ministry. The Trade Minister himself, Katie Hammond, was on the floor arguing for it. I've just been joined right now by a former Deputy Trade Minister, Mutela Mohammed, who of course is a member of Parliament for Tamale Central on the NDC minority side, joins us on the line right now. And Mutela, I believe you were in the House today when your colleagues were accused, including yourself, of destroying businesses by standing in the way of these tax waivers. Do you accept that what you've done today and what you've done since 2021 is jeopardizing the business interest of Ghanaians generally and those who benefit from these businesses, including jobs that will suffer? At least that's the accusation from the majority leader.
Well, good evening, Evans, and good evening to your cherished listeners. How could that affect businesses? If you listen to the majority leader himself, he said that those strategies are geared towards supporting businesses to help the economy to grow so that jobs will be created. I guess you heard him when he said that. Evans, we have maintained that 1B1F is a very good policy, but recklessly and haphazardly implemented. Now, since they started 1B1F, the expected results of the 1B1F was to have done what? Help the economy grow and reduce the joblessness in this country. Unfortunately, since the implementation of 1B1F, unemployment is not only increasing, it is escalating. This government took over from the NDC an unemployment rate of 8.4. Today, unemployment is 14.7. So why do you think that we should be supporting something that is only geared towards supporting their friends to deny the state the needed revenue just because a government promises implementing tax waivers?
I've heard that accusation. I've heard an accusation about supporting friends. But are you telling me that Central Oil Refinery, a Chinese firm, is owned by friends of the MPP?
I have just told you, Evans, the purpose for the implementation or the formulation of the policy 1B1F is to help the economy grow, support industries so that they can expand and create the needed jobs. Is that not the reason? That is what is found in the blueprint of the 1B1F. And I have just told you, the verdict is completely the negative. They took unemployment at 8.4 today. It is 14.7.
But my question...
Would it make sense? No, let me finish, Ivan. Would it make sense for us to continuously supporting a policy which has given us the negative results?
But I'm questioning your accusation that the tax waivers are for friends of the MPP. That's what I'm questioning.
It is very clear. It is very
clear. But where's the evidence?
Let me give you an example. That tax waiver we gave to the building of the hotel, how many years now? Almost 4 years.
Well, which hotel are you talking about?
I'm saying that the tax waiver we gave this government, we gave this government for the purposes of building hotels in this country. Have they finished building the hotels?
Yeah, but that hotel is not on this list. I'm asking a very specific question. Looking at the 42 companies on the list, I'm just asking a question about one of them. Central Oil Refinery. Is that too one owned by MPP friends for which reason they want to give them as much as $164 million?
There are many businesses that apparatchiks of this government, their friends have interest in. I can give you a litany of such businesses. But the point I'm making is...
But are they on the list?
Hello?
Are they on the list you've been considering?
So, Ivan, you see, if you check, that's the point I wanted to make. If you take the 1B1F policy document, for you to be given that tax waiver, you must provide evidence of jobs you intend to create. All those companies for whom we are seeking for us to give tax waiver in the name of 1B1F have not provided us evidence of the jobs they are going to create. Why do you think that we should go ahead and approve them? And in any case, even today, if the majority leader and his team were mindful of being responsible, at the time when they were making this point, there were less than 30 in the chamber, less than 30 members. If you check, throughout yesterday and today, we have had the numbers. So if you think that you so care about the people of this country and businesses, why have you failed to marshal your people to come to the chamber? They are following Dr. Bomia going around campaigning. We are all supposed to be in our constituencies, but we left it for the good of this country. We came and sat in the house. They didn't have the numbers, and you heard the speaker himself told him. That means my majority leader, turn your back and look at your numbers. So why would they turn around to blame the NDC? They have acted absolutely irresponsibly. The leadership have failed to take control of their backbenchers and their members. If they indeed had control of their members, they would have had them in the chamber. Did I hear another colleague say that the EPA, our inability to pass the EPA bill is what is causing galamsey? You don't need EPA bill to stop galamsey. What you need is political will. And that political will has taken a sabbatical leave. This is
let's stay on the subject of the tax waivers for a second, because you've been the deputy trade minister before, and you know that sometimes you need to incentivize the business community so they can expand and employ people. You've made the point that 1D1F was put in place, one, to aid our industrialization agenda, but broadly to also employ the teeming unemployed youth. Clearly, if you give these tax incentives, the government believes that's how these businesses grow, expand, and then they can employ.
Ivan, what use will it be to the businesses if you give them tax incentive, yet the dollar is skyrocketing? What benefit will it be to the businesses and industries if you give them tax incentives, yet you increase import duties at the port? What benefit will it be to the business in the industries and businessmen in this country? When doing business in this country, check, we are going down the drain. So tax waivers alone is not a panacea. The most important thing with businessmen, if you check Buta, even industrial players, the most important thing is to ensure that government puts in the necessary measures to stabilize the city. Unfortunately, that is not the case today. The city to the dollar is over 15 cities. So I'm saying that tax incentives alone is not the panacea. But in any case, even we are having this discussion because we are not able to do the reasons why they called us. They have spent the taxpayers' money. Look, I won't be surprised if Parliament has spent over 1 million Ghana cedis for the 2-day sitting.
And how do you come to that money?
Absolutely nothing.
How do you come to that amount? Where MPs paid to come?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not making that statement. Look at the dome in which we had the sitting is hired. Do you know how much they pay a day for that dome, that structure alone?
But I'm curious, as far as the members of parliament are concerned, when there's an emergency recall, do you have to be giving special dispensation to get to Accra and participate? Are they paying your fuel? Are they paying your accommodation?
No, what happens? The only thing they give us, you know, those in Accra, they give you the fuel based on the distance. Okay? If I'm coming with my Land Cruiser from Tamale to Accra, I don't need to spend less than 3,000 Ghana cedis in and less than 3,000 Ghana cedis out. That should take me over 5,000 Ghana cedis for fuel. What they have given me for fuel is less than 5,000 Ghana cedis.
Is that all you got? Nothing else for the sitting that you actually did?
Absolutely nothing. That is the only thing we got. But in any case, the issue is not about the money. The issue is not about how much we sometimes we sacrifice for this country. But I'm saying that they have wasted our time. We came only to approve $250 million loan. That was of importance to the majority leader and this government. If they were so minded of the EPA bill, they would have taken that first.
Because yesterday, we had some substantial number, including those from the majority. They were not interested. They were not interested in the EPA bill. They were interested in the $250 million loan. Some of us were against that loan. Some of us were against that loan.
Yeah, but by your colleagues on the committee, even on the minority side, backed it eventually.
Yeah, some of us, I agree, but I'm not enjoined to agree with anything.
So you disagree with your leadership on the matter then?
Well, I'm not enjoined to agree with anything the leadership agrees on a matter, except when my party takes a position. I'm saying that some of us, and we made our position very clear, some of us were against that particular loan. So I'm saying that if they were interested in passing the EPA and the tax waivers, they would have considered the EPA first. So to tell us that their inability to fight galamsey is because we could not pass an EPA, it is a good bill. But I'm saying that...
And just finally, in the interest of time, though, just for clarity, the MP, you were not giving a sitting allowance for the 2 days.
I'm saying that what we're given is what I have just taken. If there's